Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 3rd, 2009. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. In this episode, we'll be discussing a paper published in the January 27th issue about the role of signaling through the mammalian target of rapamycin, or mTOR, in prostate cancer. The work we'll be talking about was performed in the laboratory of Pier Paolo Pandolfi at Harvard Medical School. I spoke with Dr. Pandolfi about the research. Hello, Dr. Pandolfi.
Hello, good morning.
The paper that you've just published in Science Signaling is about mTOR signaling. What is mTOR and what does it do in normal cell biology?
So mTOR, strictly speaking, is an enzyme, is a kinase, is a serine threonine kinase. So it exerts a very specific and druggable function, which is to phosphorylate other proteins. And the importance of mTOR in cancer and in physiology is due to the fact that it really represents a hub for the control through the signaling cascade of the output whereby messenger RNA are translated into protein. So in a nutshell, mTOR controls protein making.
What role does mTOR signaling play in normal cell physiology?
So when this pathway is activated, the cell can make proteins and hence growth. So mTOR represents a critical hub for cell growth and therefore also for the growth of the cancer cell. The interest of cancer investigators on the mTOR signaling pathway and mTOR itself as a target for therapy is due to the fact that these pathways are apparently elevated in cancer. But the key question was, is this an essential pathway for tumor growth? Can we block cancer by blocking mTOR? And this is what we have addressed in this paper.
Does mTOR signaling play a role in all types of cancer, or is it only important in a specific type of cancer?
So this signaling output is apparently elevated and is implicated in cancer of various types, but is certainly implicated in prostate cancer. And this is the reason why we decided to study the role of mTOR in this specific form of cancer.
Since mTOR signaling is associated with several types of cancer, including prostate cancer, is mTOR signaling a viable target for designing drugs for treating cancer?
Absolutely. We already knew that this could be the case because mTOR operates in two different complexes, mTORC1 and mTORC2, and we had at hand inhibitors of mTORC1, such as rapamycin and its analog. And we already knew that these compounds not only are very well tolerated, but they're also effective, although they are not as effective as we would want to. So the real question was, if we take out completely the activity of mTOR in both complexes, which we did in our study genetically, would this block cancer?
So what experiments did your lab do to address the possibility of using mTOR as a target for cancer therapy?
The approach was extremely simple. In a nutshell, we took out mTOR, the gene, completely from the mouse prostate. And we had to do this conditionally because we already knew that complete inactivation of mTOR, total body, results in embryonic lethality. So we took out mTOR from the prostate and we asked ourselves in a model of prostate cancer development, does the inactivation of mTOR block the process?
Does it block prostate development or cancer?
Prostate development and cancer development, we could address both questions. And actually, this was the relevant question. The relevant question was, can an organ, a normal organ, survive, be viable and functional in the complete absence of such a key enzyme? And on the other end, the second question was, can cancer in such an organ develop? And the surprise was to discover that while the organ was absolutely unaffected and the organ is post-mitotic, the tumor development was completely impaired.
So completely blocking mTOR signaling through both of these mTOR complexes then decrease the incidence of cancer in the prostate?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the excitement. It blocks the progression substantially to an extent that the mice do not develop anything at 6 months, and now we are following them in longer window of time.
How then do these results of yours compare with the existing pharmacological agents that are used to interfere with mTOR signaling?
So the good news is that we had at hand before our study rapamycin, which is an inhibitor of one of the two complexes in which mTOR operates. But now we have also at hand inhibitors that inhibit the kinase activity of mTOR per se, therefore blocking its function in both mTORC1 and mTORC2 complexes. And so the next question, the next exciting question is, are these compounds effective in blocking cancer as we predict from our genetic approach, but also are these compounds well tolerated?
mTOR signaling is important for normal cell growth. The prostate gland is a post-mitotic tissue. The cells in that tissue are no longer dividing. Do you envision any sort of effect on mitotic cells by knocking down mTOR signaling?
So this is really a relevant question, and I think that the only way to address this is two preclinical and clinical studies with the mTOR kinase inhibitor. But we are extremely optimistic that this could be the case, that tissues that are proliferative would still not be completely affected by mTOR kinase inhibition due to other studies in which investigators are demonstrating that PI3 kinase inhibitors are also well tolerated, and PI3 kinases are operating upstream mTOR, and so in theory their inhibition should even be more toxic on mitotic tissues, and this was found not to be the case.
So in the experiments that your group performed, you genetically engineered these mice so that they had no mTOR function whatsoever in the prostate. In translating this work to potential human applications, how does that compare with using a pharmacological agent?
The fundamental difference is that the pharmacological agent would be delivering in a reversible inhibition of the kinase activity of mTOR, while genetically ablating the gene, the inactivation is irreversible. And this could be a good thing for the fact that we might reduce the potential toxicity while using reversible inhibitors, since the inhibition will be not long-lasting. On the other hand, we have to test those inhibitors to see if the efficacy of a time-limited inactivation of mTOR would be comparable to the absolute and irreversible inactivation that we have delivered to the prostate through inactivation of mTOR genetic.
And by toxicity, you mean side effects?
By toxicity, I mean the impact that mTOR reversible kinase inhibitor might have on mitotic tissues. And this is also an extremely important point, and I think that we cannot predict in absolute term what the toxicity would be. But the good news is that through delivery of chemotherapies, which are extremely toxic and that are geared to inhibit the impact on the mitotic compartment, we have also learned how to compartmentalize the pharmacologic activity. For instance, we can deliver drugs in the form of cream for topical use or through pumps for orthotopic delivery, for instance, in the brain if the drug doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier.
Since mTOR signaling, then, is a factor in other types of cancer besides just prostate cancer, then, does your work have implications for potential uses of these mTOR signaling inhibitors for other types of cancer?
Yes, this is, again, a very important question, which we can address genetically by simply repeating our study in the context of other organs, other tissues, and other cancer types. And again, ask the question on whether mTOR genetic inactivation would block or decelerate tumorigenesis and tumor development. But while we do that, and I think that this is, again, a very important follow-up of our study, the testing of kinase inhibitors in preclinical studies in mouse model of cancer as well as in human beings will also address the question on whether this approach can be exported to other form of cancer, not only to prostate cancer, and importantly, on whether these compounds are ultimately good drugs with not an overwhelming toxicity.
Well, those sound like interesting avenues to pursue for potential cancer therapies.
Yes, we are absolutely convinced, and actually I think that we are not the only one to be enthusiastic at the possibility that such inhibitors as well as PI3K inhibitors might be very effective anti-cancer drugs. And I can tell you that new experimental drugs from many pharmaceutical companies are actually being tested as we speak.
Thank you for talking with me today, Dr. Pandolfi.
Thank you and good morning.
The paper we discussed is by Nardella and colleagues, entitled Differential Requirement of mTOR in Postmitotic Tissues and Tumorigenesis. It was published in the January 27th issue of Science Signaling. For more on mTOR signaling and cancer, you can read an article by Fan and colleagues about mTOR signaling and glioma, also in the January 27th issue of Science Signaling. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, the Science Society. Our producer is Robert Frederick. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.